Okay, welcome back, everybody. January 11th to our learning as Sharei. Lilui Nishmas Miriam Fod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHashala, Mehu Neshama, Ahav, and Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah. So I'm going to begin our learning this evening the same way I began all my classes, and that is just a word on the brutal terror attack this past Sunday in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. It was a scene of complete mayhem. There was a lot of shouting and screaming. United Hatzal, EMT, Dovi Meir recounted over 100 soldiers there. We did triage to see who was really injured, who was going through shock and stress. Advanced life support was performed on the four who eventually died, who had to be declared dead. We tried, but we had no choice but to declare them dead at the scene. Three were pinned underneath the vehicle. One was hit head-on. I'm sorry. We never compare terror attacks, said the deputy commander of Zaka Jerusalem. Every attack is different, but it was quite difficult to see those serving our country to fight to save us in such a difficult situation. It looked like a battlefield. They needed to get a crane from the firefighters to lift off the front part of the truck so that they could release those who were trapped underneath. Zaka remains at the scene to clear the significant amount of blood as well as the remains to bring them to burial. Rabbi Yaakov Roget, who is the head of the Zaka Rabbinic Council, told the Zaka members they could drink water as needed, even though it was Asar B'Tevet, if the fast was interfering with their functioning. Zecher Nishmas Yael Yekutiel, age 20, the oldest was 22, Shir Hajaj, age 22, Shiret Sur, age 20, and Erez Orbach, age 20, Hashem Yunkom Damo. I'm going to pass this around after just so you can see his picture. This is Erez Orbach. He was 20 years old. I have to tell you something about his family. He was a resident of Alon Shvut, the son of Uri and Karen Orbach. He learned in Hezder Yeshiva Ma'ala and continued with his IDF service. He was the oldest of six children. His great-grandmother is a woman named Chana Berry. Chana Berry's husband died a few years ago in a car crash. Her son, Meir Berry, was killed in the Yom Kippur War. Her grandson, Moshe Berry, was killed in the Lebanon War. And her great-grandson, Erez Orbach, was killed on Sunday morning in a terror attack. His funeral took place Monday morning at 11 a.m. in the military cemetery in Kfar Etzion. So my friend Michelle Berger, Hashem Arma, passed along to me an email. It was taken from one of the social networking sites. It was written by a Zaka member. And he said about himself, I have never written anything on social networking. This is the first time he wrote, but he says, I must write about an experience that broke me. He says, we've been, unfortunately, to so many scenes of attack. He says, we stopped counting. Past 3 years, the streets of Yerushalayim are full of blood and car rammings and stabbings and shootings. One attack after the other. Zaka in Israel takes care, of course, of the aftermath and cover the mis, while Hatzalah tries to help those and save those who are injured. Zaka deals with the dead and the aftermath. So he says when the call first came in, he was in his office, and he didn't run to the call. He thought himself, and he puts in a brag, it's another routine attack. Then the call said, mass casualty attack to all Zaka members. So he grabbed his vest. He went to the scene of the attack. And the Hatzalah members had left. The last of the injured had left. And he and his colleagues were dealing with the aftermath. And he says, then something happened that broke them and that he said affected him in a way that none of the attacks have ever affected him. They were standing next to one of the niftarim, taking care of the bodies of this kadosh, and the cell phone started ringing of the victim. And the screen was flashing, Abba's calling, Abba's calling, Abba's calling. And he says, we stood there, four hardened Zaka members, and he says, we were frozen. We did not know what to do. All four of us just stood there, totally frozen, not knowing what to do with this phone call. And then he addressed the departed, and he said, my dear pure soul, your father is calling, but he does not know that your heavenly father has called you to him. And then he finishes, and he says, may God avenge his blood and that was written on Sunday. So the impact, and it shouldn't be 3 days later and we forget and we move on, and their pain should be our pain. We talk about Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. So I'm going to pass on the picture because I want you to see who he was, keeping in mind that his great-grandmother lost her husband in a car crash a few years ago, her son in the Yom Kippur War, her grandson in the Lebanon War, and her great-grandson in Sunday's terror attack. So someone mentioned she didn't know I had twins. They're turning 11 next month, but Ezra Sashem. So one, if you heard Parsha this week, you're hearing this again. So one of them said a very astute question on Shabbos, and he said, we're talking about the parasha, and Yitzchak Yonatan said, why does Yosef say, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai? Why does he say, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? He knows father's still alive, Yonatan said, because Yehuda just said, we can't go home without Binyamin. If we go home without Binyamin, father will die. Their souls, one soul is attached, nafshak shur b'nafshal, to the other soul. They know he's alive. So he said to me, what's he asking? So I said, what a great question. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about the Indian, what it means you have a father. So he says, let me see the book. So I showed him the book. He says, I don't understand. So I told him a different answer, a different what the Rav says. And this is before Sunday. He said, sometimes a person has so many tzaros in life. Yaakov Avinu says about himself, yeah, Rashi brings it down last week's parsha, Lo shakatati minu urai. I did not have quiet since my youth. Tzaras Lavan, Tzaras Esav, Tzaras Dina, Tzaras Rachel, Tzaras Yosef, Tzaras Shimon, Tzaras Binyamin. He lists all his problems. So what was Yosef saying? He knew his father was physically alive, but he was asking, is my father spiritually alive? Is he emotionally alive? Is he psychologically alive? Is there a person inside, not only a physical person, but is there a spiritual person alive? And that's what I told him on Shabbos. So we have to really dive into Hashem for a lot of koach, besides for the fact that we have to storm Shemayim for Yeshua's Mesoros Tovus and Shalom. We also have to dive in that we should be zocha to remain alive as individuals and alive as a nation despite the persecution that is unfortunately ongoing. We should never be chalila dead inside while we are alive inside, not as people and not as a nation. So I found something very interesting, and after I'm going to relate the story told over by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, we are going to go to the Sefer this evening. But I thought I wanted to bring the story because Mika Amcha Yisrael, compared to the way Amalek and the Umos HaOlam drive over things, I'm sure that you saw that the attack was via truck. He drove over the soldiers, and then he reversed and drove over them again to make sure that they were not alive anymore. So Rabbi Lau tells this over in his Out of the Depths. Okay, he's talking about his uncle, Rabbi Vogelman, who was the Rav of Kiryat Matzkin. Rabbi Vogelman, who was a reasonable man, naively believed after the establishment of the State of Israel, the fulfillment of the dream of countless generations, Shabbat would be observed through the state, and on Shabbat, public transportation would no longer run. Rav Lau is writing this about his uncle, Rabbi Vogelman. Disillusioned at the reality, however, right? Rav Lau didn't have parents. They were murdered al Kiddush Hashem. He was brought up by family in Israel. Disillusioned at the reality, however, the rabbi and neighborhood residents decided to take matters into their own hands. Listen to this. The bus route was set to begin operation on the first Shabbat after the opening of the swimming season. On that day following Torah reading, Kriyas HaTorah, in the main Beit Knesset in Kiryat Matzkin, Rabbi Vogelman led the congregants, the Kehila, into the streets. The Rav announced they would pray Musaf for Shabbat outside. He was certain no bus would dare break through the line of congregants. I was 12 years old, Rav Lau writes. I stood in prayer along with the crowd that gathered from the Batei Knesiot from all around, Ashkenazi and Sephardi, new immigrants, old-timers, elderly and youth. We all gathered in the neighborhood streets to daven Musaf. Bus number 52 approached from Kiryat Bialik going west. My sensitive uncle did not dare stand in its path, but in a spontaneous gesture, he removed his prayer shawl, his tallis, from his shoulders and he spread it on the road. I remember his lovely prayer shawl with the silver border spread in all its glory on the black asphalt. Then the rest of the crowd following his lead carpeted Hashoftim Avenue with talitot, prayer shawls, until not an inch of asphalt was visible. With a screech of brakes, the bus stopped beside the rabbi just in front of the talitot. The driver got out, shaking all over. He's driving a bus, and he pleaded to the rabbi, why is your honor the rabbi doing this to me? Ani lo Yehudi, am I not a Jew? How can I drive over a prayer shawl? The rabbi answered, I thought it was a beautiful contrast of Mika Amcha Yisrael to the Umas Olam and Amalek next week is Paro and Kol HaBen HaYil Ad HaYar Tashlichuhu. We are unfortunately, it didn't start with the Danube River in Hungary during Churban Europa. It started a long, long time ago. And how callous, inhumane, cruel Amalek can be, and how sensitive, caring, intuitive the neshama of every Jew is. So, am I not a Jew? How can I run over a prayer shawl? The rabbi said, my son, just as it is forbidden to trample a prayer shawl, it is forbidden to trample the holiness of Shabbat. We are Jews standing here around you. We have come to live as Jews in this neighborhood in which Shabbat has never been desecrated. Please do not break the tradition of Kiryat Matzkin. Do not break the chain of generations. The driver listened politely and silently. He got back onto the bus. He put it in reverse. Not Chalila, Rahman Islam, the Havda of Avdalus, like Amalek does, but to drive away from a desecration. He drove backward until he found a spot. He made a U-turn. He went back the way he came. And Rabbi Lau concludes, and he says, I don't know what the situation in Kiryat Matzkin is today, but as long as I lived there, public transportation never again ran on Shabbat or on the Chagim. So when we talk about Mika Amcha Yisrael and the spirit of the Jewish people, and that we should always be alive inside, and the sensitivity to Torah and mitzvos, and kavod habrios, and respect and honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mitzvos should inspire us. And when we say in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melechem Shelo Asani Goy, that I am not one of them, should have tremendous hoda'a and shavach that we are not one of them. Even while we daven for the Yeshua.
Where is this munchkin place?
What?
Munchkin.
I didn't hear what she said.
Oh,
she
said we're got munchkin.
Oh, I'm saying it wrong?
No, she said it wrong.
Oh.
She wanted to know where it is.
Oh, because I have new hearing aids, so I thought maybe something wrong with me.
Sounds like the Wizard of Oz.
You know,
Munchkin.
Okay, Kiryat Matzkin. Did I say it's possible? No,
she was wondering where it is. Where is it?
Okay, fine. Oh, where is it in Eretz Yisrael? I would have to look up on the map. I don't know. I didn't Google.
North of Haifa.
There you go. Thank you very much. Okay, north of Haifa. There we go. Okay. Okay, let's go. Okay, ladies, ready? Because the whole week I'm having not bad issues, but I'm telling everyone they're talking too loud. And then they're like, my daughter's like, Mommy, you're whispering. I really think there's something wrong with your hearing. It's because everything sounds louder to me. So I really thought I made a mistake. It's possible. Okay, we're on the top of page 43. Oi, oi vey. Okay. You know, after my Tuesday parsha class, and I began with a similar but not the exact same introduction at all, I share an additional story here. I thought after, I'm not joking, sometimes I say things in this class I've told you before, I don't say in other classes, I really thought, are my classes always so depressing? But then I thought, we have to know their pain. And we have to make it part of our lives. And we have to feel some sort of a chrayus and a revus for another Jew. So we shouldn't make ourselves incapacitated to the point of not being able to function, but we should also not drive over, pun is intended, their pain. And if it makes us feel that it is difficult in the moment, well, it should, because if it doesn't, then we are lacking the Rachmanim aspect of Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomei Chasadim. So if you could please turn to page 43. Okay? We spoke last time about the women, just the bottom of page 42. Hashem endowed women with an extra measure of bina. We spoke about this last time. The pasuk says, and the soul from God gives them bina, pasuk from Eov. The soul is more apparent in a woman because they have more bina. And we said that Rav Shimshon Pinchas says the Jewish woman is the most important asset in Klal Yisrael. If so, we may learn an awesome principle. Excuse me, the language of the soul is gentle speech, which is more present in women. The language of the body, including the intellect, is harsh. So I want to share a tremendous insight from this Henny Machlis book. Okay. You're laughing at me? Laughing. I actually think I didn't say anything from this book for a week.
Since last week.
Okay, this is one of the most piercing insights I learned from this book, and it's related to Koach HaDibra. And we're talking about the sensitivity of the woman, the sensitivity of her soul. You know, first I'm going to tell you what it says in this week's parasha. Could everyone hear me, by the way? No, because they've been telling me at home I'm talking too quietly. Mm-hmm. It says in this week's parasha, what happens, before I tell you what it says in the Hani Mach's book, talking about Koach HaDibra to unleash the power of the soul. What happens after they go up to Canaan and they bury Yaakov Avinu? So they come back, and one of the brothers afraid of, Yaakov's not there anymore, and Yosef's going to take Nakama. Now he's not going to be nice to them. It must be he was only nice to us because father was still alive. Now the father's dead, he's going to unleash full force, and we're going to see how he really feels about us. That's what they're afraid of. That's exactly what the pasuk says. So, Vayiru Ache Yosef Ki Meis Avim. The brothers of Yosef are afraid because their father died. And they say, wow, Yosef is going to hate us and he's going to repay all the bad that we did to him. Okay? Pasuk Perek Nun Pasuk Tazayin. Vayitzavu al Yosef Lemur. So they command to Yosef saying, Avicha Tziva Lifnei Moso Lemur. Your father commanded before he died saying, so you should say to Yaakov, to Yosef, please forgive the sins of your brothers. Did Yaakov ever say that? No, Yaakov did not say that. So they're lying? So who remembers what Rashi says?
I could guess for peace.
You could guess.
Shalom. For shalom, you're allowed to lie.
Okay. So interesting. So the lashon of Rashi is not that you're allowed to lie, but shinu badavar mipnei hashalom. It doesn't use the word sheker. Shinu badavar means they change the matter or they change the words, by the way. It means two things. Davar is a thing and dibur is speech. So this Rashi actually, as we've discussed this before, a dual meaning almost. Shinu badavar, they change the facts or they change the speech of Yaakov. Mipnei Shalom, exactly what you just said, because a piece, kilotzi of a Yaakov came. We don't have any indication that Yaakov ever said this. Shalom nachshad Yosef Beinov, quoting from Maseches Yevamos. Yaakov was never suspicious that Yosef was going to take nakama on the brothers. They're afraid. So Rashi's lashon hashinim b'davrim pnei hashalom. They changed the matter and they changed speech. We're talking about Koach HaDibra, right? Davar, matter, and dibur, speech, is the exact same words. Dalet, beis, letter. I mean, dalet, beis, resh. Right. So I'll tell you, but you said, I always thought, that they lied for the sake of, you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace. But I read an insight brought down by Henny Machlis, which is just unbelievable. Okay? She talks about Sheker and MS. And we're talking about appropriate speech and soft speech. Listen what she writes. This not what she writes, what she says. This is from one of her recorded teachings. People think truth reflects reality, and sheker, falsehood or lies, does not reflect reality, right? Isn't that what we think? Like if I say now at noontime, she said to her students, that it's night, what do you think that is? Sheker. Does that reflect reality? If I'm holding an apple, ladies, and I say to you, oh, I'm holding an orange, what am I saying?
Sheker.
Because does it reflect reality? No. But from the Meraglim, the spies that Moshe sent to spy out the land of Israel, she teaches, we learn a different lesson. The Meraglim said, the land flows with milk and honey. What's the famous next word? What began their downfall? Ephes. But. And they continue by giving a negative report. So Rashi says, why did they say some positive first? Who remembers? Because if you want people to believe your lies, you should first say, if you're so, so, so negative about the other person, no one's going to believe you. I mean, not, you know, your neighbor's not the devil. So if you say a few nice things and then you throw in all the bad stuff, she's more likely to believe you. So Rashi says, if you mix emes with the sheker, then people will believe you. So the question in Rashi is, Balashon Hara is emes, true negative speech. So what does Rashi mean if you mix emes with sheker? Let me explain. They weren't really saying sheker. They were saying MS. They said the people are huge. The cities are fortified. The people are giants. The cities are fortified. The fruits are huge. They're enormous. Eretz Ochalas Yoshvehi. It was Eretz Ochalas Yoshvehi. When they got there, everyone's burying the dead. Do you understand the question? What's a sheker? Their words, their dibur, reflected the davar. Their words reflected the fact of the matter. Moses told them, go check out the land. So, Sarim Imi B'chanib. Is it fortified? Is it open? Is it wild? So they came back. So they told the MS. So why are you telling me they mix emes with sheker? What's a sheker? Do you understand the question?
Yeah.
It's very, very profound. What's the spy sheker? What was their negative report, sheker, false, or was it just negative? So she answers with an answer that is very important. This is the answer. You don't understand? Oh, you do understand? Is it before I say the answer, is the question clear?
Yeah.
Okay. And could everyone hear me?
Yes.
So this is the answer. Ready? Emes and sheker, she says, it's not what reflects reality. Emes and sheker depend on what Hashem wants you to say. So if you say something Hashem wants you to say, that's emes. And when you say something, it's unbelievable. And when you say something Hashem doesn't want you to say, even if it reflects reality, that's sheker. So let's go back to the spies. Did Hashem want them to give a negative report and slander, even whether it's true, his beautiful land, his Zavas Chal Vudvash, the land that he says to Yaakov Avinu, last week in Maros Laila, I'm going down with you to Egypt, but I'm going to bring you back up to the land. When Yosef says, Hashem's Apakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem, Hashem will surely redeem you, and he will take you out of this land, Ela Arts Asher Nishba, the land that he swore to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Does Hashem want the spies to come and say, oh, you know, it's bad there? What does Hashem wanted them to say, good or not good? Tova. So what's the sheker? The negativity, what God does not want you to say. So let's say, then she gives an example. And she says, let's say to someone, you're overweight, you're ugly, you're mean. Could be true. Maybe the person's really overweight, but Hashem doesn't want you to say those things. That's sheker. Do you understand? It's unbelievable. It's like a revolutionary idea. Because why? And we're talking about kolcha dibur. And then she says, the person you're speaking to, and we're talking about unlocking the power of the neshama through dibur, is a holy, special, unique person. So what you're saying is shaker, but Hashem doesn't want you to say it, even if it reflects reality. Someone prepared you supper, right? Someone dropped you off a container of soup, and you don't like the soup. It's a very practical, relevant example. She brought you a salad. I made you a kugel. You don't like it. So is it shaker or MS? If she says, how was it? And you say, you know, it was so salty, it was inedible. It's MS, but it's sheker, because it's not what Hashem wants you to say. Thank you so much, it was delicious. Mm-hmm. So now, someone said something?
You don't have to say it was delicious. Yeah, why don't you say it was delicious? That's not true either. Or
that's what Hashem wants you to say.
No.
Ladies. First of all, I could only hear one at a time. One second. I could only hear one at a time. Please listen to me, and then you'll make your comments. Thank you. Now we could understand this Rashi. Shinu b'davar mipnei hashalom. They changed their words because of peace. Hashem wants there to be shalom. So when they said, our father told us, you shouldn't be angry at us, that's not sheker. It's emes. And because why? Hashem wants you to be be'emes in order to facilitate shalom. And that's why, if you notice, Rashi does not use the word sheker. And he doesn't use the word emes. All he says is shinu b'davar. One second, please. Mipnei Hashem. Ki lo tziva Yaakov shalom nichshad Yosef be'inav. Let me just finish with the Heni Malchus, and then you could say your piece. But only one at a time, please. I'm serious. I can't understand everyone's song events. But if you say to a bride that she's beautiful, by the way, she's quoting a Gemara. Keitzan miraklim lefnei kala, how do you dance before the bride? What does Beis Shammai say? Kala kamoshehi, however she is. Beis Hillel says, kala na v'chasuda, she's a beautiful bride. Beis Shammai says, what if she's lame or blind? Should he say she's beautiful? You understand how unbelievable this insight is? So what does Beis Hillel say? If your friend goes to the market and he buys something and he can't return it, should he tell him it's beautiful or not beautiful? Even if it's not beautiful, he's stuck with it. You should tell him it's beautiful. Keita miraklim lifnei kala kala na v'chasuda. It's not a mitzvah to point out her flaws, and it's not even the emes to point out her flaws, because Hashem doesn't want you to say it. Because the guy's marrying her, and they're under the chuppah. And you're going to say, oh, you made such a bad choice? No, you're going to say she's a beautiful kala, the chasuda, and the thread of kindness runs through her. So one second. For example, let's say somebody, oh, she just talks about this Gemara. One second. Of course, okay, one second. The Gemara, they can't return the shoes. You give another compliment, they look really comfortable, even if you have no other choice but to say something. Listen to this, because some of you took umbrage with the fact that it doesn't reflect reality. Quote, even if you have no other choice but to say something that does not reflect reality, it's still MS. because that's what Hashem's will is. Rav Zusha from Anipoli, 1 second, please commented on the verse, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. By the way, notice Midvar is also from a word of lie you should stay away, and from a thing of lies, from a situation of lies you should stay away. Midvar Sheker Tirchak is a mitzvah in the Torah. From words of falsehood stay far away, or from matters of falsehood stay far away. And how would Rav Zusha of Anipoli comment on this? He interpreted the phrase Midvar Sheker, when you are involved with words of Sheker or matters of Sheker, Tirchak, you become distant from a Kosh Baruch Hu. So I think it's really an unbelievable way of looking at Sheker v'emes, and we're specifically talking in our Sefer about the koach of woman and her gentle speech. So it doesn't have to reflect reality to be emes, and it doesn't have to reflect reality to be Sheker. But you have to figure out, what does Hashem want me to say in this situation? To insult somebody else, even if it reflects reality, you know, the dress is really ugly on you, and why could you buy it? And the color doesn't do anything for you. How's that person going to feel? And they can't return it. But maybe it really is MS, objectively, because maybe the color really looks terrible on her. But it's Sheker. Hashem doesn't want you to say it.
So you're going to let her go to a wedding looking bad?
Say it again.
Let's say it's your mother or your sister. And she looks really terrible, and you're just...
That's a different situation. That's a different situation, because in that situation, if someone comes, your mother, your sister, your mom's best friend, your daughter, and asks you for advice, and you know that they want your honest opinion, tell me honestly, that's a different matzah. But your friend, who you could tell she's very excited what she bought, and she can't return, and she's already wearing it, that's a different situation. I was going out a couple of months ago. My mom's really hardly ever go out like that, but I had to run out. I think I met Sarah Bergman in the supermarket, and I was wearing a tichel, so I try and put on my a snood. And if I'm not wearing makeup, then it's really, you won't know who I am. So I try and stay in my sunglasses. So this is the cutest story. I was going out with the boys. So one says, "You're going out like that?" He's 10. I'm not insulted. It's my child. First of all, he's 10. But second of all, I'm not insulted. He's giving me his honest opinion. So I said, "I know, I don't really go out like this." So the other one says, "It's okay. The most important thing is that you're wearing a tichel." He didn't care. That's what he answered back to his brother. So you know what I said? I said, "You're right." And then I felt fine about going out, because that's the lesson. That's the impact. So in that situation, that's not what we're talking about. Okay? And even if it's adult children and they say it in a bekavodik way, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a different situation that I think we can all understand, where somebody insults somebody else, reflects emes. Well, guess what? It does not reflect emes. Shinu b'davar mipnei hashalom. Because sometimes you got to change the davar and the dibur, the facts of the matter, and the speech, because of shalom, and that's emes. And you could think about it, you could mull over it. So it's a whole new way of looking at Sheker v'emes. Yeah, Sean, you want to say something?
Oh, it's just a funny story. It's just because of what you're saying. I had a patient in the hospital this week, a 91-year-old, very cranky lady, very, very unhappy with the messenger, which was me.
Very unhappy with?
With the messenger. I was the messenger.
Messenger.
I had to tell her something, and she really didn't like what I had to say. Nothing bad news, but she really didn't like what I had to say. So she said, "You need a haircut. And you know what else? You're ugly. You're so ugly." And I stopped laughing. And her daughter, she's a little off, "Ma, that's not nice. That's not nice." "What? It's the truth?"
So it's not nice.
Sick person.
I had to leave the room. I was laughing so hard.
Sick person.
But here you go. She was very awkward to tell the truth, but that would have been. I'll go back and tell her.
It's a perfect example, okay? It's really, it's funny, but it's really a perfect example. Chaya, you wanted to say something before. Wait till they stop. I won't be able to hear. Chaya wanted to say something.
There's a very fine line between like saying, you know, the soup is delicious. If you don't like it, you don't have to necessarily say it's delicious. Thank you very much. You can say someone else enjoyed it.
Whoa. And then they're going to say, "You're welcome. Did you like it?"
If they ask you that, but you don't have to offer, it's a fine line.
Right.
Well, if they, you don't have to offer.
Okay, we could ask a halachic shayla, but I don't know. I don't know.
It's salty and my blood pressure is high. No, because maybe they'll make it again.
I'm not sure. We could ask a Shaila. Chaya. Chaya. We could ask a Shaila, but Henima, because the last words I read are, one second. There's an Indian to building a person up and making a person feel good about themselves. Unless you never want them to give you a cookie again.
I heard
that? I didn't hear you, Ajahn.
I heard that Rav Kanievsky's wife made knedels that were very hard. He couldn't stand them, but he, I think, told her the first week they were married. And this went on for years and years and years. And if there was a guest, he'd give it to the other person while she was in the kitchen, but he really didn't like it. She never knew that. So clearly, I guess you're right.
It's not me. Whoa, it's not me. I'm quoting from Hani Machlis. And wait, ladies, it's not me. I'm quoting from Hani Machlis. It's on page 414 to 415. I'm mamish quoted. We quoted you what the Gemara says, and we're relating it to Rashi in our Parsha, because I never absolutely understood this Rashi, but I think that this clarifies it so beautifully. Even if you have no other choice but to say something that doesn't reflect reality, it's still a mess because that's Hashem's will. We're going to go on, but I'll tell you one cute thing. The boys, my family, they eat chulent Erev Shabbos, so these same two boys were eating the chulent, and I ran out of meat, so I made it with chicken and pastrami instead of with meat and pastrami, and they're like, we don't like you, you did something different. So I said, last week it was the exact same recipe, and everyone loved it. They're like, I don't know. I said, it's perfectly fine. Well, Shabbos day, I served the chulent, and I tasted it, and I looked at my husband, and I said, I forgot the salt. And I couldn't forget why they were making such a big deal, because the week before they loved it. I said, last week it was delicious. They're like, we like the other recipe better. That's what they said. They were very diplomatic. Okay, let's go. Listen, ponder, consider. Obviously, I'm not endorsing here that anyone should go and become blatant liars, okay? That's ludicrous and asinine.
You should be careful. That's what I'm trying to say. Just be careful.
But you should also be careful with a person's feelings. I agree with you. I agree with you. But that's the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. That's the exact machlokas of the Gemara. And that's why Beis Shammai quotes the pasuk in the Gemara, Midbar Sheker Tirchak. Beis Shammai says, they say about the Kala, what should you say? So Beis Shammai says, Kala kemos shahi, however she is. Beis Hillel says, Kala nav v'chasuda. Beis Shammai answers back, but doesn't the Torah say, Midbar Sheker Tirchak? And Beis Hillel answers back, if your friend bought something in the marketplace, are you going to compliment it or denigrate it in his eyes? Of course, yeshabchenu be'edav, you're going to compliment it in his eyes. Beis Hillel doesn't say, be neutral. You shabchenu be'enav, shevach. You should make it great. You should make it praiseworthy. From here we say, kala na v'chasuda. And what's the song? We don't sing kala kamoshahi because that's not a vipaska. Okay? So I'm not sure. I think I disagree with you. Having said that, obviously we should not go out and become liars. Please understand the way we're learning. It's in regard to... No, I'm saying I don't want to be misunderstood. It's in regard to sensitivity to other people's emotions and feelings. And if you got to say the emes, there's also a way... See, now it's hard to use that word. If you have to say something that reflects reality, then you need to be very careful in how you say it. Okay, so this is not my var. We're quoting, besides Rani Machas, we're now quoting Chazal and seeing what Rashi says on this week's Parsha. Yes?
Yeah, there's a very fine line, because if you know it's not a done deal and they didn't marry the person yet and you found out negatory things about this particular shidduch,
you have to ask Hashem. Wait, wait.
That's
a whole different ballgame. No. The pair of shoes, let's say they cost $150. Let's say they cost $200. No. You can't even bring that up for the purposes of this conversation, because you really need to ask a Shaira. Because that's a completely different inyan. And the Gemara is talking about, the Gemara is talking about at the wedding. That's also a different situation, okay? Yes. Tell them.
We'll call them back, but we won't.
Tell them what, Alicia? We'll call them back. You know,
but she knows that they won't.
So I just say I'll make note of it.
Okay, that's also. I'm talking about one person to another. What does Shaman say? I hear what you ladies are bringing up. Those are different examples that could, Shidduch for sure requires halachic psak. That's totally out of the realm of this conversation. But we're just trying to understand sensitivities between Adam Mechaveru and Shinui Badavar Mipnei Hashem. There are times when we have to change the reality, Davar, the matter for peace, and times when you have to change your words for peace. Okay.
Micha, just forgetting about the Jewish aspect of it, isn't it, as a person, isn't it just being polite?
Yeah. You should have Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah.
It's like when you're a little kid and you're so starkly honest that if you could die, you know, like we're in a doctor's office and my grandson would go,
You're old.
You're fat. Oh.
You're so
you're fat.
You're fat.
You're so, so. And the poor lady was not married and she was older. She was, but I'm not a grandmother. I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're a Bobby.
Hey, so we have to,
lie, okay, from kids.
As we grow older, kids. Control yeah, what comes out of our mouths. One second. I can't remember. I can't remember the medrash I want to relate. A certain, I forget which Rav it was. One second, ladies. I forget which Rav it was. I wish I didn't prepare this for purposes of the shir. I didn't think of it. That he saw somebody who looked very chashuv in the street. So he invited him to his home to eat. Yanai saw this man. And so he invited him home to eat. So when it came time to bend, oh, so they're sitting at the meal. So he asked him for a Dvar Torah. So he says, tell me something on the Gemara. So the man says, I don't know anything. So he says, on the Mishnah. He says, what's Mishnah? He says, a God. He says, I don't know God. He says, something on Torah. He says, I don't even know anything on Torah. So the man says, Yanai brought home like a dog from the shuk. Now maybe an Am Ha'aretz, a complete ignoramus, somebody who knows nothing. So that reflects reality. But is it Emes or Sheker? How do you make your guest feel? So the guest said, you know, one time I passed by a school and I heard the school children saying, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov. Marasha Kilas Yanai, Einon Omrim. They're not saying Marasha Kilas Yanai. They're saying Marasha Kilas Yaakov. And Yanai was reprimanded in his own home. So that's another beautiful example of what we're speaking about. So the emes is the guy, no, the reality is the guy's an Am Haaretz. But by saying that and putting him down, you're not saying the emes, you're saying sheker. And he was reprimanded, and Yanai learned, and he accepted the reprimand. Right? The medrash finishes, and Yanai accepted the reprimand. So it's something to think about, and it's something to ponder. Please don't leave here and say we should all become liars. That is absolutely not true. Keeping in mind, midvar sheker tirchak, when you tell the sheker, i.e. not what Hashem wants you to say, you become far removed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay. Okay, so we did a sentence. My mother is at my house and is preparing. So she says, is this your second or third year at Shari? So I said, no, we're in our third year. She says, you're still on the same book?
Okay.
What? I forget it, we're still on the same page.
Who said that?
It's like when you used to watch, you know, my mother.
We're not on the same page.
There's so much in between the lines. That's
right.
You can't go by the book.
Matter because you were always at the same spot.
We did the whole Sefer one and 42 pages of Sefer
and tons outside the book.
Of course.
That's
you could all read it on your own and then we wouldn't learn from each other. Okay, so let's try and do another sentence. What is gentle speech? The pasuk says, "Tamim tihiyab im Hashem Elokecha." Simple, pure, wholehearted, you should be with Hashem your God. And Rashi says, "There lo lachkar ala hasidus." We touched upon this last time, even though everything we just discussed, we did not touch upon last time. Lo lachkar ala hasidus. Don't be so worried about the future. Kol mashavo elach, everything that comes upon you, kabel betmimus, accept with this purity. Az tia imo lechalko. The nature of a simple person is to accept what he hears. Amuna pshuta. Remember, we ended this last time relating it to those kadoshim who went through the show up. A sly person analyzes everything. Likewise, we find the snake was more cunning than all the beasts of the field. He's very sly nature. And that slyness, that quest to understand everything, led to the sin of the Eitz Hadas. It's compelling that this forbidden fruit, and I'm putting that in quotes, came from a tree called the Eitz Hadas. I never contemplated till this exact moment. Why das? Das represents knowledge. Perhaps sometimes when we strive too hard to understand things that are beyond the pale, things that are beyond our knowledge, we can risk bringing death to ourselves. Even from the Eitz Hadas brought Mavis. On the day they eat it, says Hashem, you will die. They didn't exactly die on the day they eat it, but they became mortal at that moment. Sometimes we strive too hard to understand the ununderstandable, and then we're entering a realm where we should not be entering. Like when we talk about this, we began speaking about this Chana Berry, this woman whose son died was killed in the Yom Kippur War, and whose grandson was killed in Lebanon War, and whose great-grandson, Hashem Yinkom Damam, was killed in the terror attack on Sunday. So that's beyond our knowledge. And it's a fruit from the tree we should not attempt to even bite off or take or touch. we should suffer for their pain to the extent that we can relate, which is, by the way, so negligible, it's not even comparable, obviously, but to daven for their pain, to somehow, imo anochi b'tzara, but don't try and go beyond that, because a sly person who analyzes everything leads to the sin of da'as. So da'as can be used, the tova, and da'as can be used for destruction as well. And we have to simply, tamimus, accept that things that are beyond mapil are not meant for us to understand, because there's a refusal, says the Mechaber, to accept simple truth. The simple emes is Hashem Elokim emes. Hashem is rachamim, Elokim is din, and that's emes. What are we talking about tonight? Emes. Emes is ratzon Hashem. Hashem, rachamim is emes, din is emes, and that's the only reality we have to know. What is the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's the only reality that I have to live by, and that's absolute emes. Okay, I think the next paragraph is going to probably take us long. Okay, let's do one more paragraph. Of course, there's also detrimental kind of simplicity. Okay, so he's saying, don't be such a fool that you become like an Amharic who doesn't know how to worship God. A simple person can easily be fooled. But there's a holy kind of simplicity, and that holiness reflects the inner essence of the soul. It has a quality of simplicity. I'm just going to end with this final thought. Yaakov Avinu is the Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. Esav is an Ish Seda. Yaakov represents the Tmimus. He is also the Bechir Shaba'avos. When we refer to Yaakov Avinu, there's many reasons, by the way, why he is the Bechir Shaba'avos, the choicest of the patriarchs. His soul, writes in Mechaber, for our purposes, is more exposed than a simple person. But I was thinking, because Lashon HaKodesh has so many secrets, and it's not just what you see on the level of a pshat, like davar and diber, same word, look how much meaning there is. If you arrange the letters of bechir, beis, ches, reish, you also get the word chaver. If you rearrange the letters, you get the word chaver. So bechir sheba'avos, he was, so to speak, the friend of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the friend, a true friend, is willing to accept your will on top of his will. He cares about you. Yaakov Avinu cared about Ratzon Hashem. He accepts you. Yaakov Avinu accepted everything that Hashem put his way. He was a friend, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam because of his tmimus. The Vilna Gaon taught the Jewish soul is rooted in a dimension beyond intellectual ideas. So the Jewish soul doesn't question, and the Jewish soul does not wonder, and the Jewish soul doesn't want me from the tree of knowledge, but it's all the gashmis, and I say gashmis, I don't mean materiality, I mean physicality that gets in the way. And that's exactly how Chava sinned. All her senses, besides for smell, were involved. She listened to the snake, she spoke to the snake, vatikach mipiriyo, she touched the fruit, vatochal she. Her physical senses were involved in the sin, but of course the neshama itself, with its simplicity and its acceptance, does not want to cross that line. So Be'ezras Hashem, we'll continue next week. A lot of food for thought, and just to keep in mind the Kedoshim, Be'ezras Hashem, we should have a week of Besuros Tovos and Yeshuos. Amen v'amen.
Beautiful.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.